One of Australia's leading Christian groups is posing a very tough question to what it calls conservative evangelical institutions. Is some of your doctrine being used to justify domestic violence? The Centre for Public Christianity in Sydney wants an independent inquiry into spousal abuse within church communities. It wants to know if some ministers are so keen to keep marriages together that they're telling wives to endure abuse. The director of the Centre for Public Christianity is Simon Smart.
The knowledge that we have of this is anecdotal, so we've heard enough stories to think there are occasions where clergy, no doubt with the best of intentions, trying to look after a marriage, hold people together, have given advice that we would now think is completely inappropriate. And so there's a great need, I think, to recognise when this occurs and take appropriate action, to train people in ways that we'd be able to handle these very sensitive, difficult issues in a way that's going to be much more protective of the most vulnerable person. And I think the church has always been at its best when it does look after the most vulnerable. It does this very well in lots of ways and across the centuries. And so this is another example of this, where we need to recognise the victims of domestic abuse, children and usually women, are the victims here that we need to protect and to find good ways of doing that. There is some degree of a problem here. Let's find out the extent of it. Let's look at it and take the appropriate action.
Now, in the piece written for the ABC website, The Drum, by your colleagues, John Dixon and Natasha Moore, they say, "We believe conservative evangelical institutions should urgently consider commissioning a study into both the prevalence of domestic violence in our churches and the clergy responses to it." Can I ask why you specified conservative evangelical institutions?
Well, I mean, I think the whole of the church should do this, but because this had come up within the context of a discussion around the emphasis on headship and submission, it's fair to say that the churches that are likely to emphasise those things tend to be the sort of conservative, evangelical, reformed, which cuts across different denominations, of course, you know, Baptist, Presbyterian, Anglican, perhaps. And so we were just saying, if it is a particular, as some people were suggesting, to that emphasis of teaching, then sure, this part of the church, probably along with everyone else, ought to take an interest in a study like this.
I think that the Archbishop of Sydney, Glenn Davies, has said he'd be happy to take part in a cross-denominational inquiry. Would you seek the cooperation of the Catholic Church too? I mean, that's a church with its own issues about women and their role both in marriage and in the church.
The more the merrier, the better this would be, the stronger it would be, the cross-denominational aspect to this, and sure, yeah, the Catholic Church as well. There have been different studies into this type of thing around the world. There was a study by the Methodists in the UK that found, to their alarm, that domestic violence was as prevalent within their church as it was in the community generally. There was some very good action that came out of that study. Another study in North America found that church attendance was a very strong indicator of less domestic violence. So the reality is we don't know what the problem is, so let's find out.
Now, how would this study work? I mean, who's going to do the work? Who's going to undertake it?
Well, I think it needs to be independent. A couple of people have suggested that perhaps in the first instance, an expert panel could look at and analyse the teaching of the church to say, look, let's look at 5 years of sermons on marriage, for instance, and see what's being taught there. Sermons, but also other literature that's coming out of the church. Perhaps to identify any problematic areas where there might have been unintentionally a teaching that might foster an environment where an abusive person might take advantage of that, twist it and use it to their
We're going to come to that, because that's critical to this whole enterprise. But, I mean, who are we talking about conducting the inquiry? Social workers, lawyers, people with investigative expertise? I mean, are you? How are you planning this?
Well, depending on what you do. So if you did that, you'd need people like theologians, you'd need sociologists, you probably need psychologists. So yes, a range of experts who have some knowledge of the area, but also perhaps knowledge of the church. I think that would be worthwhile. If you did a large quantitative study, then that I think would need to be a sort of industry research partnership with a university and probably with government funding. I mean, I'd love to see that type of big survey done where you look at domestic violence across the community and then in this case particularly within the church and see what the relationship is.
Simon, I've no doubt there are some cases where naive clergy have counselled women to stay with abusive husbands. I'm wondering, though, whether it's always, as you say, with the best of intentions. There is the example given of a very popular American evangelist, John Piper. Now, he has said that he's knowingly told women to put up with a certain amount of physical abuse. And then when the physical abuse gets too much, consult not the police, but their church. So there are cases where some clergy are not naive about this. They've knowingly made these decisions.
I don't doubt that there are examples that we could bring up of completely regrettable advice. Most people who hear that type of thing would say, no, that's not what we want as the message from the church. We want people to be protecting vulnerable people. And even someone who you might describe in that way as kind of intentionally doing this is still trying to protect marriages. I would say in that case, it's ill-advised. I think what happened in that study in the UK was that in response to the Methodist study, the Anglican Church took up a very strong position on this and had a whole lot of policies implemented that took into regard training for people, you know, red flags, what are things that we need to be looking out for, what are ways in which the church might be contributing to this in a way that didn't intend to, and finding ways of training people such that this doesn't happen. I think that response was a very good one, and it was a multi-pronged response. It was in policies and training and resourcing people. I think we probably are in a situation where we want to think about that.
Now, from the very outset of our discussion, Simon, you talked about this issue of doctrine, of headship. What is the doctrine that is at issue here?
Well, the teaching in some instances of headship and submission within Christian marriages can, I think, be completely misconstrued such that an abusive person might use that almost as a weapon. And we've heard examples of this happening terribly.
Yeah. Well, the columnist Julia Baird, a colleague here at the ABC, but also at the Sydney Morning Herald, as you well know, because the article that your organisation wrote cited that. She spoke of an occasion where a woman was dragged by the hair while her husband quoted biblical passages about obedience.
Yes. Yeah. And to any serious believer, that's a horrifying thought. It's a completely illegitimate use of the Bible. Those passages that talk about headship and submission are in no way justifying that sort of any sort of abusive or domineering behaviour. It's in the complete antithesis of what's at the heart of Christianity, which of course is self-sacrifice, non-violence, and care for others. So I'd want to think about what I think the spirit of those passages is mostly about. And I think it's hardly at all to do with who might be in charge or the boss, and much more, the emphasis to me when I read that material is much more about the husband in this case loving his wife just as Christ loved the church in laying down his life for her. And the sort of dynamic within a Christian marriage as I see it is calling the husband towards deep self-sacrificial love where he's kind of lifting the other person up, truly, and it's not easy to do, but truly putting his own interest second and hers first and trying to lift her up and allowing her to flourish. It's the absolute opposite of the sort of abusive kind of behaviour that we're hearing about in some instances.
Simon Smart of the Centre for Public Christianity here on the Religion and Ethics Report. This is Andrew West.